listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
We got a wonderful energy gravitating, swirling, manifesting, creating in the studio today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, man, we're just living it up. Like a few couple cats looking for a little milk. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, milk that.
That's what I got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? What's up, guys? This is Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey Crockett. Once again, this is LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. You better write that down. If you want to call in live on the air, you can do so. That's 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. If you want to email me live on the air, you can do so. That's Dave's Vibration Station at gmail.com. I really appreciate all of your emails, all of your calls. I do know that we have quite a few emails, and I'm definitely getting back to each and every single one of you guys. It's just so overwhelming. There's only 24 hours in a day. I'm just making excuses. No, I love each and every single one of you unconditionally, and so does Josh. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, David. Thank you guys so much for listening to
me. Oh, it is such a pleasure having my amazing co-host with me. My beautiful, generous, creative.
You're touching me, man. You're really making me blush.
Oh, well, thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. So listen, guys. Today, we have a very interesting show for you. We're kicking off some crazy ideas we're going to be throwing them out there. I would like to just, you know, give you guys a little idea, a little taste of, you know, what we're going to be feeling today. What's up?
Money. Yeah. Wrap me up in some dollar bills, yo.
All right. So, as you guys know, we're going to be talking about
money.
So check this out, guys. Today, we're going to be talking about how money corrupts people, and not only how money corrupts people, but you, the listener. Right now, we're going to be talking to you about how not to let the dollars get to your head. Whether it's having all the money in the world or whether it's having no money, right?
Amen to that.
We're going to be talking about both sides of the spectrum. One of the big things that we are going to be focusing on today, though, is when you strike it rich, how to control that ego, how to control that feeling in you that's just like, you know, I got $1 million, you know. I am just worth more than the world. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the reason why I'm talking about this today is because I had an experience the past week. I had the pleasure, and it absolutely was a pleasure. It was an honor of mine. I was surrounded by people and friends of mine and fathers of friends of mine and stuff over the weekend for a nice celebratory gathering. And I was actually the musician, one of the musicians, the rapper for this celebratory occasion. And it's very interesting. These gentlemen are extremely wealthy. They all have the trophy wife, and they all have, you know, the three cars and the Mercedes and the Bentleys, and you know, it's very interesting. And you know, being a part of this celebration and really seeing it and experiencing it firsthand really showed me a whole new perspective on the human psyche. If you have ever been around anybody or a group of people that are very well off, very, very rich and very wealthy, I feel like there's some similarities. And I'm not categorizing, I'm not putting these people like in a separate group, and they're not bad people at all. I'm throwing this out here. These people that I met are amazing, amazing individuals. They're wonderful people with very positive intentions. But what you realize is that money really does become a part of a person. Being surrounded by these, you know, multi millionaires, and kind of just seeing the way that they talk about money with each other, they're constantly talking about money, talking about, you know, what they're planning on getting, how they're, you know, redoing their living room to put some ivory floors in, you know, just like just crazy stuff like that. And like, and it's so fascinating. So I wanted to dedicate today's show on, you know, kind of breaking down that ego behind a dollar. Do you know what I'm saying? Also, what I found that was so interesting. Check this out, guys. Money is like, money creates this like hierarchy. Money creates this like, this pyramid. It's like, you know, there was people there and some, you know, half the crowd was richer than the other half. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's some people there that were, you know, multi-millionaires. There's, you know, a few guys there that were billionaires. And then there's a few other guys there that, you know, were just friends of friends that, you know, maybe, you know, they're making, you know, 80 grand a year, 100 grand a year. Do you know what I mean? So it's not bad, but, you know, when you are at dinner, when you're sitting at a dinner, you know, where it's, you know, $13 for a whiskey sour, you know, and $70 for a filet mignon steak, and then a lobster enchilada with cheese stuffed pepperoncinis. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you know, when you're sitting, how much do you make a year? Well, 80 grand. They're like, oh. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. It's so fascinating. And it's not like people are so blatantly what's the word? So blatantly despising, you know. It's not people are like, oh, you only make that much money. I mean, people are very nice about it, but you see the hierarchy, you see the different levels of how money really controls a person's status in a corporate world. For example, I'll just put it to you this way, and this is as simple as it was. The wealthiest gentleman were the most liked, right? Whether they're good or bad personality, you know what I mean? The wealthiest gentlemen in the room were the people that everybody was talking to, everybody wanted to be around, and you know, and then the other people in the room that were not of this this insane abundant lifestyle of wealth, they kind of, you noticed how there's segregation, and it's fascinating because you realize and you recognize that these super wealthy people, it's hard to find a common ground with them because they're so used to a different lifestyle. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're so used to a different, do you know what I mean, Josh? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, they, go on. Let's
see. I was going to say something. When we went to high school, David, remember all those cocky kids?
I do.
All those
true religions and the
yeah. So I think that some of the people that are really cocky and wealthy right now, most of them started off like that as a kid, and at the time when they were kids, they weren't working. Their parents were working.
Right.
So I think it also has to do with something with being raised up to be wealthy and cocky with high expectations from your parents.
Absolutely.
And people who know you. So
absolutely.
But I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, there's people out there that are rich, wealthy, but they don't show it.
Right.
Don't show it.
Right.
They don't, you know, go up to a person and say, hey, I've got $1 billion in my pocket. How about you?
Right.
Yeah. And we went to that. David and I went to a high school where they, all the kids, most of the kids were like, hey, look at my clothes, look at my car, look at my shoes.
Right.
Look at my five girlfriends.
Exactly.
You know?
It's all material. It's all about, you know, how much more can we get? How much cooler can I be? How much more expensive? How much more money can I spend than the guy next to me? You know what I mean? And
exactly.
Then that, the interesting thing, the funny thing about that is, you know, that can go on throughout your entire life. You know, for example, you know, the classic, the neighbor just got the BMW, you know, so then, you know, the guy's like, honey, we have to get a Mercedes. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, Jim just got a BMW, you know, oh, Bob is putting in a pool. Like, we only have a bean-shaped pool. He's getting, you know, like, his pool's 8 foot deep and it has a water slide. Like, we're going to need to get a water slide, honey. You know what I mean? And it's that whole drive to be the best and to have the most. And it's so
competition.
It's,
yeah.
It's so ego filled though. And what we're trying to do in this episode of The Vibration Station is break down the ego behind the money. You know what I mean? Here, it's great if you can make $1 million. It's great if you can go and become super wealthy and super successful. Everybody wants to be super wealthy.
But are the richest people in the world the happiest? Think about that.
There you go.
I know people who are poor who are extremely happy with their lives.
Right.
And I know rich people who despise themselves.
Totally.
So,
and another thing is, if you don't have the right headset with your money, right, then people start liking you for what you have and not for you. That's another thing that comes with, you know, such responsibility of being so wealthy is you need to develop a sense of understanding for when a person loves you or when a person loves your money. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. I actually, as I was walking into the station today, our amazing program director, I was just talking to him briefly about, what the show's going to be on today. And he actually told me this amazing quote. We don't really quote Oprah too much, but there is some quotes here and there that can definitely be repeated and agreed with. Yes, our amazing program director, he had just, you know, struck up conversation and mentioned this quote to me. Wow, I'm really going to butcher this to do it verbatim, but pretty much it's, you know, if you're a good person and you get wealthy, that money is pretty much like, okay, it's what is it? It's money is just like an enhancer are kind of like a catalyst to the individual. For example, if you are a good person and you get rich, that is just an opportunity to do more great things, right? Oh, if yeah. you're a good person and you get rich, you're obviously going to be putting that money in a good place, which allows you to become a better person. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're a good person, you get wealthy, you start donating, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get more money, and then you start investing it into things that actually matter about the world, you know? But here we go. If you're a bad person, if you're a negative person, money only influences you to become a worst person, because then you have all this money. With money comes responsibility. With money comes power. It's true. I hate to say it. But, you know, it's true. With money comes power. That's why all the people, you know, are surrounding the richest guys, you know?
Exactly.
And that's why, yeah. you know, if a homeless man, you know, comes up to you and asks you, you know, to like, oh, excuse me, sir, would you possibly mind, you know, what's something that, you know, excuse like, would you possibly mind, like, you know, handing me that. It's something so simple. If there's, like, something on the floor and whatever, like, can you mind doing this for me? People are obviously going to be more hesitant to do something for the homeless guy. But then if there's this super rich guy in a nice suit and they're like, excuse me, sir, would you mind just doing that for me? You know, you're going to be like, oh, sure, no problem. You know what I mean? It's just we get this preconceived notion how money, whatever. But I really agree with the quote, with Oprah's quote, and the idea behind the quote being that, you know, money is definitely a catalyst and an enhancer to the human psyche. And pretty much with your intentions, money just enhances those intentions because it's money.
Another negative thing money can do is it can destroy all of your ambitions. Let me give you a scenario yes. really quick. Let's say you
Let's
won
hear.
The $100 million lottery.
Right.
And before you won the lottery, you were signed up in a college or university planning to be a doctor or a vet, whatever. You were planning on getting a degree of some kind and then eventually getting a job.
Right.
If you won $100 million, do you think you would still be in school studying to get that degree?
No.
Why is that?
Because you won $100 million.
Exactly. Like, you'd be reliant on that $100 million. So let's say 20 years go by after that decision, you quitting school and getting that $100 million. Let's move 20 years ahead. What skills are you going to obtain in those 20 years?
Right.
Nothing. You're not going to obtain anything. You quit school, you're relying on the $100 million.
Right.
If you go on a date with a girl or a guy, depending on your, you know, gender...
Right.
You're going to have nothing to talk about.
Right.
You're going to say, oh, yeah, I won the lottery back in 2012.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's all there is to my name. I only
right.
have fancy cards, but I have nothing to talk to you about.
Right. It's true. And it's so fascinating. That actually brings up such an amazing point. It's really fascinating to me how money can actually govern whether you follow through with your passions or not.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that interesting? We don't even think like that, because you're like, okay, well, my passion is to be a veterinarian, mm. right? But I win the lottery. Oh, well, I would still like to work with animals, but, I mean, since I have $100 million, you know, and I'm sure that there's absolutely people out there that, you know, have gotten rich and have made a bunch of money, you know, on the off chance of whatever, and have still followed through with their dreams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that, you know, when I strike it rich, if I were to, hypothetically speaking, win the lottery or, you know, get a nice chunk of change that could set me up for the next X amount of years of my life, I know that I would still play music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I definitely would still play music, and I would try to put the music out there and send the positive vibes. But what I do know is, you know, I wouldn't be looking for jobs right now.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be trying to put put so much energy out there into finding something that I like to do, but I can still make some money at it.
But there you go. See, you have some goals, you have some ambitions,
right,
and
thanks,
you're not letting money get in the way of it.
Right.
That's the thing. That's what we want to spread to each and every one of you guys. We're trying to say that if something like this ever happens to you, where you get some extra money that you think you can live off for a while, don't let that money get in the way of your goals,
right,
and your dreams to achieve in life.
Always be hungry. That's something that my father's always told me, and I completely agree.
Yes, my dad says that stuff too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Always be hungry for more.
Always be hungry for more. Because once you're satisfied, here's the thing. There's a difference because when I was younger, I always used to argue with my father about this statement. He goes, always be hungry. I used to be like, Dad, like, can't you ever just be satisfied? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I learned in a very short 2 years the difference between being hungry and being content. Like you can be hungry and content, right?
Yes.
But being satisfied with what you have and not wanting any more,
that's impossible.
I totally believe that. Well, yeah, I mean, that's impossible to have no. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. You know, nobody, no, at least very few people, they, you know, they say like, I am satisfied with this. I'm never going to need anything more ever in my life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is people that will, you know, get paid. Let's say they get, you know, $3,000, okay?
Okay.
They're like, oh, $1,800, bam, there's my rent. Okay, and then, oh, I have to pay for the gas bill, utility bill. Shit, I really wanted that Louis Vuitton purse. You know, okay, I guess I'll just, like, get the purse, and then, oh, I have some extra money. Oh, I'll just take work off. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like that thing, like, oh, I have some extra money, like, I'm just going to take work off today until I'm down to $10. Oh, and you know, it's that thing. It's like, it's so true though. You need to, and I'm not talking about just money when I'm saying always be hungry. I'm talking about always be hungry in all aspects of life.
Lice.
Check your hair, ladies and gentlemen. Always be hungry and always have a drive to find more passion, find more excitement, find more joy. Be hungry for love. Be hungry for laughter. And with all of these things does come money. You know, I think the whole thing is finding a balance, right? See, we've gotten two sides of the spectrum. We've got, you make so much money that your ego just rules your life and, you know, everything you look at is like a dollar amount. And then we got the opposite side of the spectrum where you have enough money to live, but you're just so damn content that you just don't work until you really have to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the really important part is finding a balance. Right, finding a middle ground between I'm just messing around, guys. Between really working for your money and still staying hungry, but containing and harnessing that sense of humility when you do have the cash flow. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I really think that, you know, you can make as much money as you want. Anybody, I believe, can be a millionaire. I do. It's a matter of setting your head to it, being at the right place at the right time, but manifesting and creating and believing in yourself to be in the right place at the right time, having the right opportunities come forth to you, and following your excitements, doing what you love.
I couldn't agree more with you, David. That was pretty awesome.
Thanks, bro.
Another thing is that we're not trying to make sure that all you guys say, hey, I want to keep all my money because I want to listen to David and Josh and be like, I want to use this money for something more valuable. No, that's not what we're saying. We're trying to say that if you earn your money, if you get some money, don't be afraid to spend some of it.
Right.
Because some of these things that you want, like a Louis Vuitton purse or the new iPhone, if you really want it, say, screw the money. I want it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to enjoy it.
I dig it.
Have that mindset, guys.
I dig it, man.
If you want a guitar, go get a guitar.
But make sure you can make your rent. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, get your rent. Yeah. After all your major bills are paid, you need to have fun in life.
Yeah,
you cannot live to work.
You cannot
live to work. You will become miserable.
Yes.
You will become miserable. That's why we have a whole bunch of corrupt politicians out there, because they're living and work. They live to work.
Right.
And they work to live.
To live. Yeah. It's true.
That's really important.
They could have, they could have $100 million, but they they're definitely not the happiest cats on the street.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's what's awesome about being an American. That's what freedom is.
Right.
Doing what you want, buying what you need.
There you go. And Josh, I wanted to add on to what you said, which I really wholeheartedly agree with. Don't let money rule the fact that you want to get something exciting for yourself. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm such a firm believer in that. Yes. Because here's the thing. I know, and there's been so many times where this has happened, where I'll be kind of short on cash or something, but I'll say to myself, like, wow, that sandwich just sounds amazing. Like, there's nothing more right now than I want than this turkey and cheese sandwich from Guido's on Dumetz and Topanga. No, it's the best sandwich in the world. So, I'm literally, thinking to myself, shit, well, I have $16 in my name. The sandwich is $6.50. I can do this, But the thing about it is, I have this weird thing where, I feel guilty about it almost, because I'm like, shit, I have $16. I'm going to have $9.50. That'll put a gallon and a half. Like, do you know what I mean? But really, I feel like you can't feel guilty for that stuff. You need to embrace that, because I know that if I didn't get that sandwich, I would have just gone home and probably made myself a tuna melt. And yeah, I would have enjoyed the tuna melt. But honestly, that ecstasy of I fucking want this sandwich. And then getting the sandwich and being this is my sandwich. It's so empowering.
And what's really funny is
that's great.
It doesn't only relate to money, it relates to food as well. Let's say you wanna have a ripped pack of abs for the summer,
right,
and you're staring at this delicious breadstick.
Right.
If you've been training hard for a while and you want a little break, take that little break.
There you go.
Get that ecstasy that David was talking about.
There you go.
Feel it.
Not the drug.
Not the drug.
The emotion.
The emotion.
The emotion. The narrow net.
Exactly. Yeah, get that. Yeah. Get that sense of, get an orgasmic feel.
Yes.
That's always a good thing.
Yes, it is. Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. Hey, guys, I just wanted to take a quick break, always giving a shout out to our friends at Our House Records. You definitely should check out Real Boy. Along with that, check out Night People. Two very good friends of mine, is Real Boy and Night People, along with the CEO of Our House Records, a dear friend of mine as well. And we always are sending them unconditional love, light, happiness, laughter, and joy. And we're always going to be the first guys to kick off a few of their songs. I just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys of what Real Boy sounds like. Once again, this is The Ritz by Real Boy. Check it out. If you guys aren't dancing yet, then I don't know why not. During the portion of this song, Josh and I will be dancing with each other in the studio, getting pretty freaky. Are you guys ready for the drop? This is one of my favorite songs. Check it out. Was great, guys. Wow, I am exhausted. I gotta tell you, Josh and I were dancing on the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
Dance the night away. Oh yeah, yeah.
I felt like I was in a J-Lo movie.
In a J-Lo movie?
In a J-Lo, you know.
Like a music video?
Not a music video. She's done a couple dance movies.
Has she?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What was that one? It was just on TV the other day. Oh, Cecilia or like Celia or like, do you know what I'm talking about? Serena, do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really.
Okay, whatever. Well,
but she's done a few movies about dancing, and it was like the heat of the moment, you know.
Yeah.
And I were like,
that's dance.
No sex, no sex in the studio, just dancing.
Joshua,
just dancing.
All obviously, right. There's not going to be any sex in our spaceship.
Well, you heard David's sounds. It sounded really sexual. It sounded...
That's how I dance.
We are straight. We cannot stress that enough.
Thou dost protest too much. See, that's my dance. That's my dance.
Ooh, ooh.
Whatever. People don't want to listen to me dance. It's listen to me dance and watch me talk. Listen to me dance and watch me talk. See sound and hear sight. That was actually in a museum once. That was fucking crazy. Seeing sound and hearing light. Light actually has a frequency. It actually, you can hear light if you like believe it or not. Light actually has an audible frequency to it when given the proper tools to there's these supersonic earphones that you can I was 8 years old and it happened once at the at one of these museums down here. I forget which one. Oh, it was the one where there's this huge mechanical body
in the science museum.
Is that what it is?
The science museum.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. I remember I went there on a field trip once. I think it was first grade, second grade.
It's a dope place.
Crazy stuff, man. And speak about the science museum. It took a lot of money to.
A lot of money.
I'm just messing around. So as you guys know, the Vibration Station posse. Yeah, we're a posse. We all have a Vibration Station tattooed across our chests.
Thug life.
It says Vibration Station Thug Life. Thug Station Vibration Life.
All right.
That's what it's
I dig it.
What does your tattoo say? Dude! What does your tattoo say? Sweet! Your tattoo says dude, and your tattoo says sweet! You know, dude, where's my car? Whatever. I got nipples, Greg. Could you milk me? we're just having a good time in the studio. It's all about a good vibration. No matter whether we're talking about money, we're talking about music, we're talking about
nipples,
we're talking about meet the parents. It doesn't matter. It's just all a good vibration. If you guys want to call in and do so on the air, that's 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. You can also email me live on the air. That's davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Once again, that's davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. So yes, as we were saying, the Vibration Posse, Vibration Station crew, as you guys know, we're all, the show is called Dave's Good Vibration Station. So, what I mean is we're all very into, positivity. We're all into creating a positive intention, and we're all into, putting out just the most positive energy possible out into the world. And if you guys are just tuning in with us, this whole episode is revolved around finding and maintaining a positive intention, having humility behind the dollar. And somebody who knows a lot about that is the one and the only Dr. Michelle is actually on the air with us. Hey, Doc, how you doing today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
I'm listening to your show.
I really appreciate the call, Doc. And
sure.
I just got so excited. Wow, my face just lit up bright and red, and I'm blushing because you called, Doc.
Well, listen, you guys are so funny together. I just love listening to you, and I just wanted to let you know that you guys are a lot of fun.
Well, thanks, Doc. I wanted to. What's going on? You called. What can we talk with you about today?
Well, you guys were talking about spending money and just going forward, and I just wanted to say that you guys sound like you have your head squared on really well.
Because, well, thanks, Doc. If only you knew what we were spending our money on, though, then you would really see.
But no, you're right, and like Josh said, you really have to just sometimes you just have to go for it and enjoy,
absolutely.
But in moderation. But
absolutely.
Sometimes we have to go for it and do it because a lot of the clients I work with just don't have that balance. They're just spendaholics.
Right.
And
right.
So, if you were to give some advice, now I'm going to ask you for advice, guys.
Okay.
What should I tell my clients who are complete spendaholics and also and always rather think they're deserving of what they want impulsively?
Okay.
Okay.
I think I have a solution for this.
Let's have Josh take this one.
Maybe you can have your clients write down a list of what they want, mm-hmm. a wish list. And right next mm-hmm. to each name of the product that they want to buy, put down a purpose right next to the product.
Oh, that's good.
By looking at the purpose, they can see how desperately they need that specific product. Oh, do I need this instead of this? But this gives me this instead of that, you know? So they can compare and contrast each different product and see what they really want.
That's an amazing solution. That's infinitely better than the advice that I was going to give.
that's a really good suggestion.
Yeah, that really is. That's great, man. I'm going to add on.
That's an amazing suggestion.
If you don't mind, Josh, I'm going to add on to that as well. It's absolutely. What a great solution. I think I'm going to start doing that.
That is a great solution.
I would also say first of all, do that of all things. Definitely have them write down the list. And this just popped in my head as an addition, an extension to the list. Have them take that list. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then go back to their house. I was going to say, cause that this just popped in my head when you said this, take that list, go back to their house and then have them think and have them write down the things that they already have.
Right.
Because I've done, you know, a little psychological research, I do know that with certain disorders, like, you know, borderline personality disorder, bipolar personality disorder, certain things like that, there is that urge, that chemical that chemical arrangement where it does really
part of the manic swing
and from my understanding, I could be wrong, Doc, please let me know, but from my understanding is for people with these personality disorders, spending gives them like a sense of comfort. It gives them a little bit like an escape, and it's their way just a psychological breakdown that I analyzed while talking. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe like because they spend so much and they buy so many things, they kind of like look at that as an opportunity for like new, like trying to get away from mm-hmm. all the things that they already have. So then they go out and buy more, but then that just becomes like more of their problem. Do you know what I mean? So maybe.
Right. They're filling up the emptiness, but it's never full.
Right.
It'll never be
and
full.
That's not something that you can fill by buying 100 Louis Vuitton purses. Like, what I'm saying is maybe have them really look at their list, and once they've defined for themselves, like Josh said, like why they need this or what this product is benefiting them with how this is really going to help them, you know, once they do that, once they define for themselves, have them go home and say like, okay, well, I already have one of these. What's another one going to do for me?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, I already have some of this. And then after that, after they can admit, you know, that they don't need to buy these things, I would say the next step after that is really allowing them to understand and trying to, not force upon them, but trying to imprint in their brains that, that this isn't something that can be cured by buying all these things.
Exactly.
And allow them to understand that there is a problem here. Allow them to see that there absolutely is a problem when it comes to, you know, spending to fill up an emptiness, you know? And then from there, of course, the old classic cliche, you know, keep your balance, keep it in moderation, you know?
Right. Right, exactly.
But,
exactly.
Hey, Doc, I have a question for you.
Yes.
As you know, earlier in the show, how I was mentioning, you know, how the past few days I had been surrounded by these extremely wealthy people, and then because of this insane amount of wealth, there's kind of this hierarchy between, you know, the wealthiest people and then the semi-wealthy people, which are still extremely fucking wealthy, and then the people, you know, that like are only making a few hundred thousand dollars a year. Do you know? Do you know what I mean? I mean, if you're not making $100,000 a year, you're not going to be at this, you know, little gathering.
Sure,
But what I'm saying is
and that's not much, you know, in terms of, that's not considered necessarily a wealthy person.
It's not. No. If you're making a few hundred thousand dollars a year, you're not considered a very wealthy person, you know.
I mean,
it's, you're definitely in the top 90 percentile of you know, the collective. Do you know what I mean?
250,000 a year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 200. Yeah.
So. So what were you asking?
So my thing for you, Doc, is in your past experiences, have you recognized and have you had experiences where you've known people that have struck it rich and they've changed?
Have you had
an experience where somebody you know?
Someone I know. Okay.
Yes, somebody you know, or someone you're a patient, or something, or someone you're familiar with, either earns or wins or something. All of a sudden, they have a lot of money, right?
Right.
Do you see a change in their personality? Do you see a change in their decisions, in the way they present themselves? Do you see how the money has gotten to their heads? That's what I'm getting to.
Well, I don't know if it's about a change in their personality, but possibly a change in their beliefs and fears, because many times when you become so wealthy, you find yourself with a lot of friends and a lot more family members coming out of the woodwork.
Right.
Who never paid attention to you before, never wanted to be with you or connect with you.
Right.
So sometimes what I've seen in people is they become a little more cautious and, you know, careful about who they're hanging out with, because sometimes that's just nature. Sometimes we have to protect ourselves.
Absolutely.
So whether it's family who hasn't seen you in a long time, or you know, adult children or whatever.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking of one client in particular who came upon a huge inheritance. And, you know, he's very kind of paranoid of some of his children, adult children who've come out of the woodwork and started being real nice to him and started hanging around with him again. And so, and he's fearing that it's about they want their inheritance.
Right.
And his brothers, who didn't talk to him for years, who didn't like him, and they always argue. Now all of a sudden they're very nice and trying to make up, and he thinks it's all about his money. So he's become more paranoid.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know if that's justified. I don't see that he's throwing it in their faces like, I'm wealthy and you're not, so F you.
Right.
But I see he's a lot more paranoid.
Right. And Josh and I were actually talking about that earlier in the show, about once you do, I was saying, you know, with great wealth comes great responsibility.
That's right.
And with that responsibility also comes learning kind of a sense of understanding for the difference between somebody loving you and somebody loving your money, because it's very, very easy to be convinced that somebody loves you when in actuality their intentions are surrounded by your bank account. And you know, for example, the classic trophy wife, you know, the classic she take my money when I'm
You know, again, it's like you have to be very careful about who you're choosing, unless you want a trophy wife and you want to show a young hot woman around and say, see what I can get because I've got money and power and all that. Right. And that's cool.
Right.
Whatever makes them happy. But make sure you get a prenuptial agreement because they may not stick around.
We want prenup. We want prenup. Yeah.
Prenup, baby.
Because when she leave your ass, she going to leave with half. No. Hey.
Listen, guys, I'm going to run because I know you're running out of time.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
Thank you so much, Doc.
I appreciate the call. Jacket.
You're awesome.
Always great to hear from you guys.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Guys, wow, wow, wow. It has been such an amazing show. Once again, we love you.
Yes, we do.
This is Dave's Good Vibration Station. I got my brother, Josh.
J Money Pyro. Thank you guys so much for listening to the soothing sounds of David Cohen and myself.
It's Davy Crockett. I'm just messing with
Davy Crockett.
Hey guys, we send you unconditional love, light, joy, happiness, and laughter. Once again, y'all gotta tune in with us every single Sunday, latalkradio.com, 1 o'clock. Also, check out Dr. Michelle every Friday on the couch, 11 o'clock. All right, guys, we're gonna send you off with golden halos on your head and beautiful wings on your back. All right, guys, love you. See you next Sunday.
See you next Sunday.
In the golden lotus, that's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing, motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your words. Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all. In all the silly games like when we used to play and see how fast we could smoke out of roar and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times. Doesn't matter if we had stacks and dimes, we got each other until the end of this rhyme. At least that's how it seemed, that everything was fine.